pastor called me and gave me some insights as to what's going on. So anyways, into Mark. It's thanks for that bio, by the way. I didn't know I had such a good bio on it. I also found out I was on YouTube the other day, and I was like, I'm on YouTube. One of the people that are coming to our church just started coming and said, oh yeah, I saw you on YouTube. I never knew I was on YouTube. Social media nowadays, you got to watch out because you could end up on YouTube. You won't know it. I didn't know it. Okay, so Mark 16 and 14. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. Okay, so who's he talking to? He's talking to the apostles, the guys that followed him around in the flesh, who were anointed by him to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. The guy that they watched calm the storms, feed the 5,000, feed the 4,000. They watched him do miracle after miracle after miracle. He anointed them to do miracle after miracle after miracle. They saw him do things. When you read the Bible, you really have to pay attention to some things that happened with Jesus. Like Jesus would be in front of a bunch of people, and they were going to try to take him in, and he would just disappear. Now, how do you stand in front of a whole crowd of people that you just, all these Sadducees and Pharisees, and he's calling them out on what they're doing wrong, and they want to take hold of him, but he knows it's not his time, and somehow he slips out. How does that happen? Strange things. But they've seen this. But here they have what? Unbelief and a hardness of heart. So I want you to read this and understand that it's part of the walk sometimes. Sometimes we get to a place in our life where we're having a hard time with our belief, with our faith, where we have a hardness of heart that comes upon us. It doesn't make us bad Christians. It doesn't make us bad people. It just means we're going through something that we need to go through, and we need to get in deeper with God and with Jesus to find out what is it that we're going through, what is it that's happening, what is he working out in us, and where do we go with this from here?
Amen.
So don't feel bad. I know a lot of people that feel like they're unworthy to preach, to teach, to witness, to lay hands on, to do anything. They feel unworthy because they're going through something, because something is happening in their life. So they back off and they say, I can't do any of this. I can't do nothing because I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough to do it. This is not true.
Amen.
And another thing that could be is that you do have maybe a special calling on your life, and the evil one's going to step in between and try to stop you from stepping out in that,
right,
by making you feel unworthy, by making you feel like less than you are. And you can't let that happen.
That's right.
You got to be able to push through that and understand, I'm human. The apostles who walked with him had unbelief, had a hardness of heart. He told them straight up he was going to die and be raised in 3 days after he died. He told them straight up, plain as day. But when he rose, did they believe it? And then this is the 40 days, at this point here, this is the 40 days after they found the empty tomb. This is when he finally rose at the end, when he finally did go back up to heaven. So he's already been around for 40 days. He was before the 500. He was before Mary and all the women that were following. He's already witnessed to all of these people. Been around for 40 days. Came before the 500 people that he witnessed to, and they're still having unbelief. So keep that in mind when you're walking through a hard time, okay? Because I know I'm not an apostle. I don't have what the apostles had, but yet I do, if you get my drift. Because we all have it. And none of the apostles were perfect. None of us are perfect. So we can't compare ourselves to anything like that. If we belong to Christ, if we believe in Christ, that's the basis we start from and where we work from, and we go from there. So, he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Okay? What does it say? Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Okay? But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs... Now, I want you to pay attention here. These signs will accompany those who believe. Who does that entail? Everybody sitting in this room. Everybody who believes. It does not say those specially called. It does not say those specially anointed. It does not say the apostles. It does not say the priests. It does not say the ministers. It says all those who believe. That's all of us. I'm no better than you. I'm no different than you. I just have followed the calling that God has put on my life and walked into it just like we all should. I worked all my life. I used to be a social worker up until a couple of years ago when I was able to walk into ministry on a full-time basis. The church was growing, and I had an opportunity to do that. And God led me there, and I did it. But I was just a worker just like everybody else up until 5 years ago. I had a 40-hour-a-week job. But as we go on, I'll tell you how this all works out, okay? So he says, all will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. Okay, so who can do all of that?
We can.
Those who believe. Period. That's all it says. There's nothing there. There's really no interpretation to this at all. That's what it says. So I want to jump over to James. You see, when you just give yourself to the Lord and you walk with Him, He will lead you in the direction that needs to be done. And you don't have to worry about what's going to happen, what doors are going to open, as long as you're listening to what He's saying to you to do. And if you just follow what He says to you to do, then you will walk into what needs to be done and what He has for you. Because this whole thing is not about us coming to church every Sunday and hearing a pastor speak and learning something and then going home all week and then coming back to church Sunday and hearing a pastor speak, or going to a conference and feeling good and getting the anointing and having the Holy Spirit fall on us. This isn't what it's about. That is the beginning, all right? That's a start, but you're getting that for a reason. The Lord is giving you those things, the Holy Spirit, the teaching, the understanding, for a reason. What's the reason? We are the church. We are the salt and light of the earth. Amen. We are the ones. You know what? Church growth doesn't come from here. All right? This is not where church growth comes from. Church growth comes from here.
Amen.
And there's not going to be church growth unless it's coming from here and not from here. Because this is teaching and equipping. Well, what's it teaching and equipping for? For this to go out into the world and be salt and light, to be Jesus to people. And when we're salt and light and Jesus to people, then people want to know more and they want to get involved and they want to come into. And you know what? I don't have a thought here that when I'm with someone and I'm being that salt and light or that Jesus, it's not in my mind that I want them to come to my church. It's in my mind that I want them to come into the kingdom.
Amen.
And that's all it's about, is coming into the kingdom.
Amen.
But what happens out of that is they're going to say, okay, well, you know, where do you go? Where do you get this teaching? How did you get that? And then you say, okay, well, I go here, I go there. And that's church growth. That's how it works. So, in James, in chapter 2, we'll start in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? So here's a problem in the church. Everybody has this works-orientated thought that works is no good. Well, the only place that works is no good is salvation.
Right.
Salvation does not come from works. Salvation is a free gift of the Lord. You come to Him, and it says directly in the Bible that salvation is not of works, it's a free gift of the Lord that none may boast. Okay? Because it's His love for us that He died on the cross. And He gave us salvation through His love. But that does not eliminate works. Obviously, it just said right there, faith without works is dead faith. Let's read on. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works? So works is a big thing. How can we be salt and light to the earth if we're not doing something to show that?
Amen.
How can we be Jesus to people unless we do something out there to be Jesus to people? We can't be Jesus to people if we're not doing something for them, if we're not being something for them. And there's all kinds of ways that this can happen. There's all, you know, like I said here, you know, helping people that need. What did Jesus come for? What did Jesus say to the Pharisees? He said, I didn't come for the rich. I didn't come for the wealthy. I came for the poor and the downtrodden. I came for the sick and the needy. Well, if Jesus came for those people, and we want to be Jesus to people, well, then who should we be ministering to? Who should we be reaching out to? We have to be there for people. Now, everybody has it. We're going to get into another part in a minute. I mean, I know everybody has a different calling in some respects. All right, some people are pastors, some people are teachers, some people are evangelists. Some people are prophets, some people are pastors. I mean, okay, so some people have certain anointings, and those people do things for people, but everybody is called to do something and be something. And it's got to be out there.
Amen.
It can't be in here. Because how many people are we saving right now by sitting here having this get-together? How many people are we being salt and light to right now by having this get-together? This get-together is about us being equipped so that we can go and be something to somebody else. That's what this is about. You know, when I was coming up, me and my wife came to the Lord late in life, back in 1989, I came to the Lord. I was a construction worker, made good money, we lived our life, we had a house, two kids, we're going along, but my life wasn't too good. I was having a hard time and reached out to a lot of secular type situations to help myself, and nothing was ever happening with it. And we had my brother-in-law came to the Lord, and I gotta say he was a little overboard. You know, he came to the Lord. He was heavily touched, but and you could tell that, you know, he really had the spirit. But you know, he'd do things like he'd come to our kid's birthday party and he'd sit in the other room and read a Bible. And I was like, you know, this guy's a little overboard here, you know, like this is like, you know. But he was an example, and I knew there was a change in his life.
Yeah.
And I knew there was something going on there that was good and right. So when I got to this point in my life where I had tried all these other things, I went to his pastor, and I said, hey, you know, I'm having these problems. Can you help me with it? And I came to know the Lord as my personal Savior. Mm-hmm. You know? And that's another thing. We can't be afraid to use terminology. You know, I had a meeting with a couple of guys from our church. They're all construction workers. Isn't that funny?
Exactly.
So we got a bunch of concrete workers that are coming to our church lately. So we had our first meeting the other night. And one of them kept going, born again. Just like that, he goes, born again. Born again. I looked at him, I says, you know, okay, so what do you got against born again? You know? Well, unfortunately, the church has not been what it should be. Mm. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that say they're Christian, they're born again, they're walking with the Lord, but when it comes to actually being Jesus to people, they're a far cry from it, and nobody's attracted to that. There's just no attraction to it. But we cannot be afraid to use terminology. Now, I'm going to clarify that, because there is a Christianese language that we use that nobody really understands out there. But to say you're born again to me is an opening. And when I asked him about what's with the quotes with the born again, he doesn't understand born again. So I opened up the Bible and read to him what it said. That Jesus told this person that unless you're born again of water and the Spirit, you cannot come into the kingdom. And what that meant. It's a door opening. But you see, the thing is, We don't walk around like we're on a pulpit preaching Jesus. There's a big difference between that and being Jesus. Jesus taught, people followed him because he had something.
Amen.
And that's what we need to be. We need to be people that have something that people are looking at and saying, wow, I like that. That's really good. How come they're like that? What is it about them that's so different? And we can't be afraid to be who we are in public.
Amen.
I've stood in Starbucks and prayed for the cashier in Starbucks with people, because they said to me, I got this awful pain in my neck, I'm having a hard time today, whatever. Want me to pray for you? Oh, would you? Of course. Lay hands on him and pray for him. What did I read in the beginning? If you believe, then you can do these things. Pray for the person. I've been in Stop and Shop. See, this is what I'm talking about, being sensitive to God, sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I've been in Stop and Shop and going up to the milk thing, and there's a woman there with her cart, and I'm looking at her, and she's looking at me, and I'm saying, hi, how you doing? She's going good. Well, not that good. And the next thing you know, she's telling me about some issues she has. Would you like prayer? Oh, I would. So you can't be afraid to pray for somebody in Stop and Shop. You can't be afraid to pray for somebody in Starbucks or on the street or anywhere else. But this is being Jesus to people. You don't know whose soul you're going to touch. You don't know who you're going to heal. You don't know who you're going to help get delivered from some addiction or from being oppressed by some spiritual oppression that's been on their lives. You know how many people have come out of bad backgrounds that have spiritual oppression because their childhood was horrible? And sometimes it doesn't even have to be that horrible. Spiritual oppression just comes from being rejection. Rejection is a big, huge problem. And there's so many people that feel rejected and unloved just because they came from a family that did not support them, did not lift them up, did not teach them about that, but actually said negative things to them. Or they've been in situations in their lives where they've had negative things said to them, and they have this spirit of rejection. You know, we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against powers and principalities. So when I talk about a spirit of rejection, the power, the principality is a spiritual one that is on somebody, that they have a spirit of rejection on them. They have a spirit of depression on them. They have a spirit of anxiety on them. And we can be the agent to help these people. We can be the people, and we need to be the people. That's the thing. Do you think your pastor can run all around this area here and run into all the people that you do and help all the people that you can help and be Jesus to all the people that you can be? He's here to teach. He's here to give you what you need to have to do what you need to do. Let's try Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. I can find it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Am I running over time? What time do you guys usually get there?
12 o'clock.
12 o'clock? Oh, okay, so I got another hour and a half according to that clock. It's 20 of 11, so we got a lot of time. Okay. Okay, where do I want to start here? Oh, I guess I'm having a problem because I'm in 2 Corinthians. I'm reading and I'm going, that doesn't say anything I want to say. I'm in 2 Corinthians. Okay, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, who are the brothers, the people that believe? I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit, except in the Holy Spirit. Now there were varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. To each. Everybody has a manifestation of the Spirit in them. For the common good. What's the common good? Everybody we run into every day, everywhere we go. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And it also goes on to speak of the body and compares the body of Christ to the human body. And it says the body is not one big eye, it's not one big ear. But all the parts of the body work together to make the body functional. Which is what he's talking about here. All the parts of the body make the body functional. So we all need to figure out, where do we fit into this? How do we fit into this? You know, it's great service to come to church and be a Sunday school teacher or do work around the building or all the other things that are done within the church, okay? And that's really good service. But our main service is to people. Our main service is to everybody out there. And that's what we need to plug into. That's what we need to figure out, is how does that plug in. But some things are simple. I mean, we're supposed to be giving, loving people that treat our neighbors as ourselves. So we don't have to ask the Holy Spirit, should I be nice to this person? We don't have to ask the Holy Spirit, should I be giving? We don't have to ask the Holy Spirit, should I be Jesus to this person right now? Should I pray for them? Should I ask them what's wrong? Should I ask them if I can help them? Should I ask them if there's something I can do for them? I think the Holy Spirit puts people right in front of you so that you do that. You don't have to ask them. It says to visit people in prison. It says to help the widows and the poor. It just says that straight up. It doesn't say to be led. There's another thing. We're being recorded, but that I have a hard time with is this being led thing. Yes, if you're going to be an apostle, an evangelist, I mean, you're going to be a Billy Graham, you're led into it, right? You are led into it. But doesn't mean that everything we do in life is we're led into it. To me, that becomes an excuse for not doing something. Well, the Spirit didn't lead me to pray for that person who was having such a hard time, and they were sitting there crying, and they were just in distraught and despair, but I wasn't led to pray for them. That's just a poor excuse for not doing anything. If the person's put in front of you and there's a situation going on, then you know what? You were led. You know? Just believe you were led right then and there. Because they're there. And that's the way it is.
Amen.
Okay, so I'm going to get off that soapbox. I hope I didn't bore you. But I do hope that you took something away from this. Because I see time and time and time again in the church that people just come to church on Sunday and go home. And come to church on Sunday and go home. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that you're not fulfilling your
destiny.
Full calling and destiny with the Lord. That there's so much more. Mm-hmm. That you're missing out on blessings. Because the Lord blesses you through these things that you do. So this is not about you don't have salvation. This is not about, you know, I'm not with Christ. This is about if you're with Christ and you have faith, what are your works? What do you do? How are you Jesus? How are you salt and light to the earth?
Amen.
I have a book that I'd like to give somebody. And I don't know why, but I got a name at the top of my head, and she's not here. So I hope nobody feels bad that I do this, but I'm getting from the Spirit that I need to give this to Christina. Where is she? Okay. So I hope you don't mind if I do that. I was trying to come up with how do I do that? I was told I'd be